Turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs and the third chapter. We're going to read what we read this morning in chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, and we will look at all of these verses somewhat, but we're going to focus mostly on verse 15. And we'll call this message the opportunity of a lifetime. If you would stand for the reading of God's Word, we're going to talk about wisdom today. We're going to talk about how to receive it, how some people know it and yet aren't receiving it, and how to keep receiving it, and why people lose it, and why sometimes you do wise things, and then other times you do just foolish things. And I think there's a lot of people that are Christians that understand some of these things, but you can know something and not know something. Can I get an amen? Do you understand what I mean? You can understand something intellectually, grasping it perfectly. You can know the Greek, the Hebrew, and the Aramaic, and do it backwards and forwards, and still miss the deeper meaning of what God is trying to do. Proverbs, we're going to talk about Proverbs themselves today as well. Chapter 3, verse 13. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She's more precious than jewels, and nothing you can desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Heavenly Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, may we lift up the name of Jesus, who is our wisdom, and knowing Him is the opportunity of our lifetime. Help people that think they know it all to be crushed in their intellect and in their ideas and their idols of themselves, that they would know there is much to learn here, that the Word is inexhaustible. And yet, Lord, help this Word to be perspicuous, understandable, clear for those that are hungry. I would say, Lord, speak, for your servants heareth. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We call today's message the opportunity of a lifetime, the opportunity of your lifetime. This is going to require a little bit of setup, so listen up. What is it that you want the most? Probably changes over time, right? What drives your passions? What are your biggest, greatest desires? What if you could have whatever you want in life with no limitations whatsoever? What would really satisfy you? What do you think would make you most happy, we could say? That word blessed means happy. Now, maybe it has to do with financial prosperity. Like maybe you'd never have to work again. Or your teenager never have to work at all. You'd never have to think about money. You could have houses and cars and your own plane and a big yacht. You could own an island. You could have lots of servants and no worries about paying the bills. You could go and do and experience the best this life has to offer and then some. You'd be living on a permanent, all expenses paid, lavish vacation lifestyle. An ultimate, rich, unending recreational retirement with no money concerns at all. And you could spend anything you wanted to enjoy with family and friends. That's quite a dream. And I'm sure in some measure, on some level, we all have that dream in a sense. But maybe your dream has to do with health. You know I wrote this because of what I'm about to say. You could eat what you want and as much as you want and never have to diet or exercise and you'd still be in perfect health. Wow. Woohoo! What a dream. Now maybe, if we're being honest, some people were being honest, they would say that their ultimate dream involves being able to live in sin with no consequences. Why does God make this a sin? He's a cosmic killjoy. Isn't this the way I was made? We're going to talk about those things. But what if you could indulge the lusts of the flesh? To pursue and obtain your every desire with unbridled passion. You could have anyone as a partner, and as many partners as you wanted. You could party all the time, nothing but fun. Imagine that. Now, whatever your dream may be, Some of our dreams are just unrealistic fantasies. I'm over 50 years old. I've had a stroke. I've had a heart attack. I'm 5'1 and 3 quarters now, and I weigh... My NBA dream is unrealistic at this point. Because even if I could show that I could shoot and score and do all these things like that, no one's ever going to give me the opportunity, the platform to do that. And we think, you know, I want to be like Thor. Well, sometimes our dreams are just unrealistic fantasies. We should dream, and we should dream big, and God wants us to, but let's move on. Now, maybe some are based on selfish and sinful desires. And some of your desires will never be fulfilled. But some of your desires will be fulfilled. Amen? Some of them will. You'll want something. You'll go after it. You'll get it. And you'll maintain it. And you can do so in a godly way. And that's good. Of course, different people are going to have different obstacles and different opportunities and different levels of success and satisfaction. But do you know, did you know, that God says life's greatest opportunity is the same for every person? Life's greatest opportunity is the same for every person. And that God says there is one desire that should be your greatest desire. Don't get all pious and say, I know it's following Jesus. Okay. But I'm going to be a little more concrete about that. Because I think people are missing it a lot today. Because there's one thing that's going to bring satisfaction above all else in this message. I'm going to show you that the Bible says this very clearly, and I'm going to show you how to take advantage of this wonderful and greatest opportunity. Look at verse 15. She, this is wisdom, is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. You see, if you can have all of your earthly desires all at once, and all of them added up together, and anything else you might even imagine, an unlimited lifestyle. The Bible tells you that it's nothing compared to having wisdom. Now, people who aren't wise can't understand that. Now look at verse 17. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Now, wait a second. With all of the disappointments in this life, anybody been disappointed today already? Yeah. Anybody going to be disappointed tomorrow? Yeah. Are you in a season of disappointment? Many people are. Are there some disappointments that never go away? Yes. If everything was perfect in this life, you'd just love this life. And oh, if you don't know God, that's why you're chasing it. But we'll go on. But this, her ways are pleasantness and peace and a-la-da-da-da-da. Doesn't seem to make any sense to the person who isn't growing in godly wisdom. I'm talking about Christians now. But the wiser you become, the more you'll understand this truth. It's like when you're talking to your child, when they're 1 and 3, and you're saying, just wait 1 second, let me get the wrapper off the Tootsie Roll. They would want to just eat the Tootsie Roll right away. They don't understand that it's going to make them not so good down in the, you know, later, and all of that. But they don't understand it yet. They don't have the patience yet. Now, when they're 12 years old, I don't have to unwrap the wrapper or anything like that. But I've got to tell them, look at me. Don't eat pudding and burritos every day. It'll mess up your life. And we don't understand it because we lose weight just like that. And you look at a weight and you start gaining. You know, it's awesome when you're younger. And then everybody tells you before you're 50, wait, you're going to wake up one day and there's just going to be a pain there. And it never goes away. And then, you know, you're racing to take a shower and then you're back. And then you're in the shower for another hour because no one's coming and getting you. Anyway, the point is there are wise things that people don't understand are wise because they're not on a wise path yet. They can't handle them. People say, tell me what to do, and you could tell them what to do, and they still can't do it. Well, you know, turn the wrench this way, do this, and you tell me that about a car, the car ain't going to work. Because I can read all the manual and all that, and I'm still getting it wrong. If you don't believe, well, anyway, there's everybody in here that knows me knows there's plenty of examples to show you that. Yeah. That's why you better sign up on some of those cleanup things because some of them I can't do. Now, again, the wiser you become, the more you understand this truth. And learning and living this truth is what maturity in the Christian life is all about. Now, I'm sure everybody knows wisdom is important. There's no one that's going to say wisdom isn't important, it doesn't matter. And most people know that you're going to make a wreck of your life without it. All kind of wise proverbs and things like that. But I mean to tell you something. Most Christians, while they know that the Bible is full of wisdom, they don't realize how to get the wisdom of the Bible. I am talking to some people that I could name by name right now. And I'm not going to do it, and I'm not mad at you, but I want you to understand today could be the day that you learn why you keep getting back in the same pattern and you don't move forward. Because wisdom is a road, and when you get off it, you can't just get back on it. Because that thing is moving backwards. You've got to go against the current. Because the wisdom of God is foolishness to men, and the wisdom of men is foolishness to God. Now, you've got to realize that the wisdom of the Bible is not just information you need to succeed or learning ways to avoid trouble. The Bible pictures wisdom as something much greater than those things. Those things are important, but Christians don't actually understand how to gain wisdom from the Bible, and that's what we're going to talk about. And even less understand how they can lose wisdom and why they seem to be wise sometimes and foolish at other times. And we're going to talk about that again. Now, to start with, the book of Proverbs may seem to have wisdom for anybody. You just look at it, and it's got these sayings, and it seems like that's wise. Just pay attention to that, and you'll have wisdom. But, or however, Proverbs is not, not a collection of helpful insights or simple truisms. It isn't a book of wise sayings that compares to other books of wise sayings. It isn't, well, Dr. House has a little bit of this, Oprah has a little bit of this, Confucius has a little bit of this, Let's Say has a little bit of this, Muhammad knows a little bit of this, and the Bible has a little bit of this. Hogwash. I'm not saying other things don't have things that can help you out. I'm saying that the wisdom of God is not some commonplace thing. It's not some common sense thing. 1 Corinthians 3:19, we quoted it a minute ago, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. The wisdom of Proverbs are for those that are in the kingdom of God, not pithy sayings for those who aren't. How do I know that? Because of the way that Proverbs addresses itself. You've heard this saying before. You find it in Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, that word is in all capitals. When you see it in the Old Testament, all in capitals, it's talking about Yahweh, Jehovah, the covenant name of God. The covenant name of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And this is what that means. Are we listening? Say amen. Amen. By using the Lord's name, we're told that the wisdom of Proverbs comes to those who are in covenant to and submitted to God. You see, you can understand something intellectually, but not understand it experientially. So the book of Proverbs has wisdom that people who aren't Christians can gain from. Amen, it's true. But its true power is unavailable to those who aren't God's people. And even Christians will fail to gain when they fail to follow. You know how to get wisdom? And I could end it right here. Follow the wisdom you already have. You can't put the wisdom on a shelf and think you're going to use it later. It won't be there. I can't just tell you, you know, people say, just tell me what I need to do. I could tell you, you still couldn't do it. There are people that cannot follow this wisdom because they are not in covenant with God. There are people that are in covenant with God and still can't follow this wisdom. It won't yield its power to you. I'm going to reveal verses 13 through 18 in the authorial tent and what's all there. Yes, exegesis. We call it that. We're going to bring it out of Scripture. But the truth is that some people can hear it and understand it and yet still not grasp it and take hold of it. Because they're wanting to use wisdom to take hold of something else instead of wisdom holding on to... oh, boy. All right. Let's move on before we get to the text directly. Wisdom has to do with your submission to God. It's not only a thing to be found, it's a road to travel on. Wisdom is a road to travel on. The more you fear God, the more wisdom you'll receive. The more wisdom you receive, the more you'll fear God. And so the fear of God is awe and admiration, adoration for Him, and that does include a healthy sense of fear. As you worship before God's glorious, immeasurable, terrifying majesty. So the non-Christian can experience some of the insights of Proverbs, but they won't really understand its wisdom. They'll just see the surface of what's there and think, I can do this, I can see this, this is wisdom. But they're not living in wisdom, so they cannot pull out what is really there for God's people. I'm going to show you this. But people can only enjoy a surface-level experience. Wisdom is a road that you dive deep into. True wisdom only comes from allegiance to God and reverence for God. And to the degree that you're having that reverence and allegiance to God, even as a Christian, is the degree to which you will be able to receive. And then if you walk in, to receive more wisdom. Wisdom is not knowing. Wisdom is doing. Knowledge is knowing. Wisdom is doing. It's what you do. Right? I can know that I need a diet, and I need to exercise, and I can't eat all those carbohydrates, and milkshakes are out, and red meat, a little bit of that. But do I do it? If I'm not doing it, then I'm not being wise, right? Well, I can do whatever I want to, and until I use it, until I walk in it, it's no good for me. Do you see what I'm saying? See, the gift of wisdom is only properly understood in relation to its giver. So a kid could steal a car and drive it around for a while, and get a thrill. But they won't be able to keep that car or experience it in its fullness as it's meant to be. But a maturing young adult who's been given this car knows the gift that it is. They won't just use the car. They'll take care of it and use it properly for more uses for a longer time with much less trouble. They'll get the most out of the car. You want to get the most out of Proverbs? Keep listening. And it won't end today. If you think, I'm going to get it today and then I can have it and put it in my pocket. Jesus ain't no pocket Jesus. He's not an amulet. He's not like a vampire movie. You put up a cross and say, ooh, you've got to have faith and you've got to be walking in it for it to work. Your wisdom can fail you. Did you know that? Yes. Wisdom that you've learned and that you've done before, you can follow the same path and it fail. Wow. Why is that? Let's continue on. Get to the text, Pastor. I'm getting there. I love it when you say that. That's right. Where's the text? The text, the text, the text. Knowing about something is not the same as knowing something. Someone can know a lot about you and still not really know you. Is there anybody on earth that disagrees with that? Someone can know a lot about you and still not know you. Biblical wisdom is not simply knowing God's will, it is following God's will. Now, let me talk to you about Proverbs themselves. In the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, wisdom and foolishness or folly are personified as 2 alternatives. Picture it, and you could call them Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. You say, this is what Lady Folly tries to do. This is what Lady Wisdom tells you to do. All right? Lady Wisdom says that God's will and glorifying Him is what matters most. And I'm paraphrasing 9 chapters here, but listen. She tells you that there's a God-fearing way to approach everything you do in life. So when it's talking about the adulteress and all that, it's not just talking about that. Yes, it's talking about that, but so much more. It's the principle of wisdom. You cannot dig out until you're already living the first part. Well, I could talk to them blue in the face, but if you don't do it, you won't get it. Lady Wisdom affirms God's way is the only way to true satisfaction. Lady Folly says that you are what matters most. She says your desires are what you need to be concerned about if you want to be satisfied. She says, go ahead and do it. You'll enjoy it. Oh, God will forgive you. Don't worry about it. She affirms you in your foolish choices. Well, nobody else really agrees with me, and I don't feel like I'm getting fed, and I just don't understand. So I'm going to go somewhere else where, you know, they'll agree with me. Yeah, and your foolish desires. You know what that's like? That's like shooting at the side of a barn and then drawing a circle around it and saying how great a shot you are. Don't seek for validation. God says I'm so great, I already know that God is who I am in Christ. I want to know how great Christ is. That's what I need to know. More about your identity and your past and all that. Forget it, man. That's what Paul said. Paul says, I forget that stuff. When it tries to come back up to my door, I don't let it in. Let's move on. This is going to get good. She says you were made for this. This is how you are. This is what you really want. You deserve every desire to be fulfilled. But Lady Wisdom says that no desire can compare with her. I want to encourage you that you can have the thing that matters most, no matter where you are in the spectrum of life. And it can serve to guide, guard, and gift you when you can't have other things you want or you lose things that you love. You do not need to fall apart whatever you lose. I know it's hard, but that's wisdom. As you gain wisdom, you start understanding that. And then you don't have to worry about people just giving you platitudes. Well, you know, it'll be all right. No, it won't. It won't be the same. True. 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 How are you going to make the best out of that? Well, that's what wisdom says. And it's going to be different for you than it is for me. Wisdom is your own path. You see, Solomon puts these wisdoms here, and you think, I can just use that. No, you can't. No, you can't. I hope you're hearing me. Wisdom helps you. When you can't have other things you want, or you lose things you love. Wisdom makes all things better. It's not that wisdom gets you out of every trial, but with wisdom you get something out of every trial. It's not that wisdom gets you out of every trial, it's that with wisdom you learn something, you get something in every trial. Wisdom helps you get the most out of this life, no matter what you have to do. Here's something for people that minister, which is you. What makes a Christian godly isn't their natural areas of strength, but how they handle their weaknesses. That's how you know if you got God in the center or not. Got God first in your life, God in the center. And holiness is circling around Him. And as His force pulls you towards Him, then you're not having to push yourself. You're being pulled towards it. But when you think, it's my strength, it's my... Let me say it again. What makes a Christian godly isn't their natural areas of strength, but how they handle their weaknesses. And to do that right takes wisdom. And to do that right reveals wisdom. And to do that right gains you wisdom. But so many people never really think about what's most important, meaningful, and valuable in life. Instead, they spend all their time chasing fame and fortune, significance and identity, and validation or vindication through money, influence, prestige, position, power, status, and so on. And when they don't get it, or they don't get it as fast as they want it, or in the way they want it, they fall back down into foolishness. Now let's look at the text. Look at verse 13. Are you with me? GP, are you with me? All right. Look at verse 13. Let me read it. Blessed, again, happy is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. Sounds like the same thing. Let's put that first up there. Yeah. Wisdom is a search. Blessed is the one who finds it. But not just finds it, the one who gets it. It's a search and a pursuit. Wisdom is a search and a pursuit. Wisdom is on a continuing path. The way to get wisdom is to use the wisdom you already have. If you're not doing what you already know how to do, you're not going to get more. If you do what you should be doing, sometimes you don't even know you're not doing it, but you ask God about it. Say, God, give me wisdom. And He's like, well, you know, I'd give it to you, but, you know. It's like if I took my 3-year-old granddaughter and say, here, Vera, have the car. I mean, that wouldn't be wise, I know. But you know what I'm saying? She wouldn't know. I could say to some of you older folks, say, here, drive my car. You'd be like, where are the keys? You don't need keys. I didn't find that out till last year when I got this car. What? Push a button? What's that? What's this camera thing? Are they spying on me? They're looking at me. Right? Of course, now, it's like slip-on shoes and your cell phone. How did I ever live without it? You know, we talk about the pursuit of happiness, right? But look what it says here. Happy is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gains wisdom and understanding. We talk of the pursuit of happiness, and true happiness is found in the pursuit of wisdom and the acquiring of wisdom. Happiness is found when you're chasing wisdom down and when you get some. And verses 14 through 18 describe why. All right? Verse 13 talks about happy. Verse 18 ends with happy. And in between is why this should and will make you happy. Why this is greater than all things. Why it's the central aim of your life. In following Jesus, you are following wisdom because Jesus is wisdom. All right. Now look at verse 14. Put up our next slide there. Wisdom provides more than anything else. Look what it says. For the gain, for. In other words, blessed is, why? For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. Now, easy to say it's worth more than money. But it's also saying its trade value is higher than any material goods. And gaining wisdom is better than gaining stuff. And so many people say, well, you know, if I gain wisdom, then I could do this. We're going to talk about that. Proverbs 16:16 says, how much better to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. It's not like if you can be a doctor and you can make all this money, or you can be a famous movie star or something like that. Well, there's some things there, but I'm not saying it's bad. It's fine. You get all that without wisdom. I'd rather be a nobody with wisdom than a somebody without it. Look at verse 15. Boy, we're moving through fast, aren't we? She, again, we know that's wisdom, right? is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Wisdom is the greatest goal. It's harder to come by. When it says precious, precious means it's scarce. It's more costly, and it's rare, more rare than jewels. And there's nothing that you could want or get or have that is equal to it. Now, I realize where you're sitting right now, or if you're listening online, whatever it may be, that may be where you think, I don't really believe that. Or I know it's supposed to be, so I kind of believe it. But I haven't seen it in my life. That's because you're not as far down the wisdom path as you think you are. Those that are chasing after it know how beautiful it is, because the closer you get, you start saying, this is what I really need. It says, I mean, is the authority of the Word of God? Yes. Is this a definitive statement? It certainly is. Do we see the context and all that? There's 9 chapters of it, let alone throughout the Bible. It says, nothing you desire can compare with her. You can get all that cash, all that fame, that perfect spouse, that perfect everything, and it's not the same as having wisdom. Well, I can have both. Well, yes, but someone that is obtaining wisdom doesn't talk like that, right? That's the secondary thing. Don't let things other than wisdom be the engine that drives your life. Let it be the caboose. Let it be the what it's carrying. Because when it talks about riches and honor and all that, he's not talking about that. People that aren't Christians see that and think, ooh, if I just follow what God says here, then I'll get it. See, I'm following God's life now, so now I'm saying you're heading for a train wreck, baby. Because it's going to happen, and God's going to make sure it happens, where something not so good happens to you, so you'll chase him for real instead of chasing the stuff. Is it bad to have stuff? No. Do I want my children and my grandchildren to have stuff? Yes. If you're a mother or father, I want them to do better than I did? Yes. You will get A's in school because I know you're smart. Because you invent all kinds of ways to hide things from me. You know? Yes. Right? But God, you think, I have all these opportunities. I don't have any opportunities. I had all these opportunities. I had these opportunities taken away. What if... You see, the worst thing that ever happened to you is get everything you wanted. God keeps things from you or allows you to be stupid. Or things happen as a way of molding you into what he wants from you. Say, well, you know, I'm never going to preach in front of thousands of people. I'm never going to be heard like these guys that I listen to, that everybody else listens to, and say are so great. I'm not going to maybe write a book that, you know, will change life. But the fruit is me. I don't know if you hear that or not. What's God getting out of me? The me he wants me to be, which is more like Jesus. And Jesus could have shown off like crazy. That's what the devil tried to get him to do. Just jump down off it. The angels will hold you up. Then people will know you're God. Right? I'll give you everything. We'll talk about that. The devil does the same thing now as he used to do. Keep hearing me. Wisdom is the greatest goal. And look what it says here. It says, nothing you desire. Someone say, desire. Oh, I wasn't going to do this, but here we go. Desire. My friend from Ireland there. Bono Vox means human voice, you know. Desire. You have to want it more than other things, or other things will keep you from it. Don't fool yourself. I want to win the lottery because then I'll give to the church. Well, amen. But you know it's because, you know, because you're going to win the lottery first. Yeah, you're going to give that money to the church on your nice new, a brand new car or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying. We fool ourselves, and when you don't believe you can be deceived, that's when you already are. Okay, so it says desire. And you know there's things that you desire. I want that girl to go out with me, baby. Oh, I want to make first string. I want to be first chair. I want to get that scholarship. I want this. I'm not saying it's bad. Whatever you do with your hands, do excellent as unto God. Yes, okay, amen. But this says you should want wisdom more than other things, and that'll help you no matter if you have things or you don't. Want it more than other things, or other things will keep you from it. People tend to let the good become the enemy of the best. Well, I've got this incredible job opportunity, but it's in a place where there are no churches. Huh? I've got to feed my family. You're feeding them now. You get my point. Somebody listen. Again, to get wisdom, you have to use it and keep following it. Some people only want enough wisdom to get what they want. But that isn't wisdom, that's just desire. Not a desire for wisdom, but a desire to use wisdom to get your true desire. Now, I hope that convicts you. It convicts me. That's why people say, just tell me what I need to do, because they want wisdom on their own terms, and it doesn't come that way. It doesn't come that way. They can know what to do and still not be able to do it. Now look at verse 16. Again, verse 13, wisdom is a search and a pursuit. Verse 14, wisdom provides more than anything else. Verse 15, wisdom is the greatest goal, amen. Verse 16, wisdom has nothing but good for you. Long life is in her hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Ooh, you mean if I just do what Proverbs says, I'll have riches and honor and live a long life? No. But that's what it says. That's not what it means. That's not what he's talking about. On the surface level, in one sense, yes, you do wise things will happen good for you. Amen? You do foolish things, you drink and you drive, and you get out in 5 o'clock traffic, you're probably going to get an accident. But this isn't really about living a long life, becoming rich, or being honored by others. This is picturing wisdom as having its hands full of blessing. Right? Psalm 16:11 says, at your right hand are pleasures evermore. Proverbs 8:18 says, riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. To live in wisdom is to live with the greatest blessing. If you have long life, riches and honor, without wisdom, you don't have the greatest blessings. It's not wrong to have those things. But if you have them without wisdom, it doesn't do you any good. Not in the long run. But if you have wisdom, you'll still have blessing no matter what your current situation is. Boom! If you have wisdom, you'll know what to do in those situations. The wise person has perspective. They can see that it's better to be a wise nobody with nothing than a foolish somebody with everything. Wisdom helps you with or without things. Listen up! Verse 17. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. This is how you test people if they're really Christians or not, or if they're really following the Lord or not, because that's going to be hard to believe sometimes. Because I'm really trying to find the Lord, and yet he turned his back on me. No, he didn't. You say, but this can't be real. It must be hyperbole. No. Here's the next thing. You see it up there on the screen. Wisdom plays the long game. Wisdom doesn't always look like wisdom because the wise course of action isn't always in your best interest. I wish I could just stop it right there. Emphasize the point in the immediate sense. But I can't do this because then I'll lose my Social Security benefit. But God says, I'll let you fill in the blanks. I have to be with this guy even though he's definitely not a Christian and hates you and hates Jesus and says so. But I won't be with anybody. Oh. And they're really nice and wonderful, and they could be. There's a lot of good people out there that aren't Christians. Good, but not righteous. There's none, doesn't say none goods, there's none righteous. No, not one. Am I helping anybody already? It's going to get better. Let me say it again. Wisdom doesn't always look like wisdom because the wise course of action isn't always wise in the moment. From our perspective in the immediate sense, the wise life follows the wise path and believes in it, although it may not seem like pleasantness and peace in the moment. I think I put it in your bulletin today. I've said it before. Faith is doing what you ought to do when it isn't what you want to do. Faith is doing what you ought to do when it isn't what you want to do. That's faithfulness right there. Wisdom knows there's going to be bumps and bruises and twists and turns, but it's the only road that gets you where you ought to go. And it's the only road that gets you where God has designed you to be and your born-again soul wants to go. As you grow in wisdom, you will want that. You will understand that his ways are pleasantness and peace. Having peace with God, we are now justified by faith, and etc., Romans 5. Wisdom plays the long game. What do we put our tagline on our websites and all that? Living for today by having an eye for tomorrow. Look at verse 18 now. There's only 18 verses. Yeah. It's 11:48. Yeah. He's going to ad-lib. Yeah. Now watch this. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. That language is specific and it's intentional. Those who hold her fast. I'm about to enter into your kitchen. You're not going to like me. Are you ready? Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Blessed are the wounds of a friend. I'm coming to you as a friend. Listen to what I'm saying. Wisdom is the way to true satisfaction. Sometimes the wise way doesn't make sense to you or it seems foolish to you because you're not as far down the wise path as you think you are. Look what it says. Those who hold her fast. You know what that means? Grip tightly. Don't let her go. Those who hold her fast are called happy, blessed. You have to keep at it when it seems mundane. Don't go to church, hear one great sermon, think, I'll show up on Wednesday, then I'll show up on Sunday, then when it stops being pleasant or the way that you want, I'm not getting fed anymore, and then you stop coming. Boom! And you do it every year. I see it in you every year. And I've been trying to find a way to talk to you, and I'm praying God's talking to you right now. I was going to wear my shirt today that says, be careful, or I'll put you in my next sermon. But I wore it yesterday at the barbecue. And now you're in the sermon. Again, let me talk to you. Holding on to you will make you happy because it will change how you look at happy. We'll use the word blessed. Holding on her will make you blessed because it will change how you look at blessed. Remember, the Israelites were going into the promised land. And God told Moses, and Moses told the people. He said, you're going to conquer. All this land's going to be yours. You're going to drive out all the Ites, Hivites, Perizzites, Hivites, all of them. And it's going to be a wonderful thing. He goes, but I'm hanging back here. I'm not going with you. And what'd they say? No way. If you don't go with us, this conquering doesn't matter. We don't want the stuff. We don't want the power. We want your presence. Your presence. You can go get that job somewhere else and get away from your church family, not even have another church family, not even think it's important because I'm only going for a little while and all that. And I'm telling you, it's a gigantic mistake. I'm your friend. I love you. I'm trying to motivate you. Hanging on to her will help change how you feel about what happiness and blessing is. Doesn't mean, oh, it means I'm going to be miserable. No, but if you're going to be miserable sometimes, is it better to have wisdom with it? People on sermon audio, there's more people there than that. Again, some people stay on the wise path because it seems exciting, like those pearls and those diamonds and those rubies it's talking about. It seems like, this is better than that. This is better than that. This is better. Boy, Ed was really lighting it up today. Steve and all that. We're going to do a little Wednesday night. Well, now he's in the book of Jude. And Chronicles? Oh, you know, I don't know. And then next year, boom, 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 the same thing. And you get going on that treadmill. You don't lift weights once a day. I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. Now, believe it or not, I used to work out a tremendous amount, and I trained some people. And girls especially would come up to me and say, I don't want to look like Arnold. You can't. You don't have the frame for it. No matter how much muscle you could develop, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. And people, you know, think they're getting just enough. And then they feel like, I don't know, eh. You got to keep on that road or you will lose what you have. Use it or lose it. Again, it seems like the pearls and diamonds and rubies, but then once it stops being exciting, it feels like a seemingly mundane routine. They get off the path and never really get any traction. You get some happy, but you never get enough happy because you don't keep holding on until you change your happy. I thought that was cute. You get some happy, you don't get enough happy because you don't hold on to wisdom long enough for it to change your happy. It doesn't mean get you used to not having stuff. It means get you understanding that whether you have stuff or not, and you're chasing me, you are being blessed, and everything else is just accoutrements. Because then God is at the center and not stuff. And then everything that flows around that orbit, if it's coming into the orbit and it's going where you're going, it's going the speed you're going, you can hold on to it with it, and you can take it with you, and that's great. If not, then you just let it go, and it don't matter. And you'll always be happy because you're always going after the same goal. Don't put God first in your life. I love saying that. Don't put God first in your life. Put him in the center of your life. Everything else is idolatry. The true wisdom of the wise path is that when the Jesus life doesn't seem as exciting as the world, or church life doesn't seem as fulfilling as it once was, you stay on it anyway. Find another church. Right? Do what you got to do. Keep praying. Keep serving. But too often Christians slow down in their pursuit because they don't understand they can't just jump off and on at their own desire, because that just makes it all about them instead of all about following Jesus, which is following wisdom, because wisdom is Jesus. These people are still Christians. I still love you. You're not a Christian. If you're not a Christian, I still love you anyway. But they aren't gaining in wisdom because they aren't staying on the wise path that holds wisdom as if it were, look at the text, the tree of life. They use the phrasing very much on purpose. That's how they see it. If Adam and Eve knew what they were doing and they wouldn't be able to get to the tree of life, they wouldn't have done it. But they were deceived. And so often we're deceived. The Bible talks about the deception, the deceitfulness of sin, because it feels great and it's wonderful and it will satisfy it right then. Then you got to get more and more and more. Wisdom can be the same way. Take a little bite, taste and see that the Lord is good, and you're like, oh, this is good. Then everything else will try to come around and say, rubies, gold, money, power, fame, this, something. No. If those things can come around and they're part of this apple of wisdom that I'm eating, then that's great. But if not, I don't want it. This is the tree of life. Wow. You can know wisdom in the sense of intellectually understanding it and still not have wisdom in the sense of you're not following it. The lessons of wisdom are not just concepts that you can hold intellectually but never practice. And wisdom is not something you can hold in your mind but you wait to use it until you think you really need it. So that's the one that, you know, they really do know wisdom, they can get it and they hold it and they know, but they're just going to wait. Biblical wisdom is concerned with right thinking and right living. Wisdom and folly or foolishness are both roads you travel on. If you keep following wisdom, you become wiser. If you keep following folly, you become foolish. If you stand still, you fail to have the wisdom you need to grow closer to Jesus. Switzerland will not be able to be neutral in the next war. Do you get my point? There's no third way. You're going wise way, you're going fool way. Period. Say, no, I'm not going the fool. I'm not going the fool way. You're sliding back. It's called backsliding. You're not even knowing it because that people mover is going against the current. And so you got to keep walking this way and keep grasping this way and keep pursuing it this way because the tree of life is over there and you want it, baby. Right? Now, when the people mover is moving your way in the airport, what do? If you're old like me, you just stand on there and just let it go. But if you're young, what do? You start walking as well. You're like, ooh, look, I'm faster than ever. Get out of my way. I'm going after wisdom, baby. Again, if you stand still, you're going to fail to have the wisdom you need to grow closer to Jesus. And to follow wisdom is to follow Jesus because Jesus is wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says that you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, let me apply this to you now. Here is wisdom. Anybody listening? Don't allow your feelings, finances, or friendships to steer you away from the will of God. Those are all important things. But don't let those things take the lead and keep you from following Jesus as the central aim of your life. I know you think you're getting and you're doing both and all that and you're happy and everything like that, but you're not as fulfilled as you could be, and there's going to be a day that you need wisdom or need to be able to give it to somebody else and you won't have it. And you can't be able to deliver it in any kind of power. You can't receive it because you are just sitting there in a holding pattern, taking just enough steps so you don't go too far back. You're not pursuing it as the tree of life. Do you hear me? Don't let a dream situation, a dream job, or a dream relationship become the thing you pursue to the detriment or denial of your faith. I don't care how much money you're going to make. I don't care how many people think you're going to be great. I don't care if it's your lifelong dream. If you're doing it outside of the will of God, any dream that requires you to venture outside the will of God is a nightmare. Can I say that again? Any dream that you have that causes you to venture outside the will of God is a nightmare. Maybe your dream is a godly dream, but you can pursue it in an ungodly way. You say, but I got to do this. You cannot do wrong to get a chance to do right. Again, people are going to try to justify their actions by thinking about the good that might be able to do because of the action. But to do this is to simply justify the action after the fact when the action is wrong in the first place. I mean, I could make everybody in here upper middle class just like that. I'll rob a bank. But think of all the good. Now, that's an easy example. But there's other examples, and I'll give you one in a moment. You might tell yourself or others, well, think about all I can do. Think about all we can do. We can do this or this. But again, you can't do wrong to get a chance to do right. And you can't put good things as the reason for denying God things. That's idolatry. Wisdom, following wisdom, is a God thing. And you can put good things in the way of God things, and that's called idolatry. Now, speaking of idolatry, think about those three men in the fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's Daniel 3, verse 13 through 18. Kim Nebuchadnezzar, remember they had been taken into Babylonian captivity. And Nebuchadnezzar had set up a big statue of gold. And then those men wouldn't bow down to it. And they got told on, and Nebuchadnezzar got mad. And he said, you know, I'll spare your life if you bow down to this golden statue. What did they say? What did they say? They said no. And they were right. How could they deny God in such a way? But let's think about this. What if? Imagine if Nebuchadnezzar went further and told them he would release all Israel out of their captivity if they bowed down to his idol. Now it's people you love, right? Now it's the whole Israel. What an opportunity. They'd be heroes. Surely God would be pleased. Surely he wanted his people free. Surely this must be his will. But the answer would have still been what? No. No conviction there? Anybody got conviction? What would their answer be? It'd be no. The Bible gives you that over and over again. Think about Jesus with Satan on top of the mountain. Lady Folly was speaking as the devil. Said he would give Jesus the whole world if he would just bow down to him. You don't have to go to the cross. I'm in control of it all. Just do this. Just this one little thing. One time. The martyrs did the same thing. Because Jesus Kyrios, Jesus is Lord. Kaiser Kyrios, Caesar is Lord. All they had to do was take a pinch off the altar and put it on there and go, Kaiser Kyrios. And they'd let him worship and do everything they want. Remember we studied this in the book of Revelation? But they wouldn't do it. But you get to live. And there's more Christians in the world. And what about your family and all that? And they wouldn't. And what happened? They'd kill them. Kill them. You're going to capitulate to the culture? Yeah, you capitulate all day already. Is that you? If the shoe fits, wear it. Some shoes are one fits all. One size fits all with this wisdom thing. Again, what did Jesus do? He spoke as Lady Wisdom and he said, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Jesus was and is the true wisdom of God. Lady Folly tells you to gratify your desires. But Lady Wisdom says nothing you desire can compare with her. Don't be a fool. Jesus says, what profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his own soul? Remember this, to follow Jesus despite potential loss is the opportunity of a lifetime. It shows the world his worth to you. Heavenly Father, I know right well that I am not as wise as you would have me to be, that you are still growing me in wisdom. I thank you that you have. I thank that you have grown wisdom in this church. I see the obstacles and the opportunities along the way. Sometimes we fail, sometimes we follow. I'm asking, Lord. You say if we ask for wisdom, nothing doubting. I know that means we've got to walk on that path. Help people to confess their idolatry, to ask for forgiveness, and to pray for strength to overcome it, to repent of their sin, renew their minds, and replace those old habits with new and wise ones. May we be a group of people by mercy and grace that can lead each other to Christ-likeness with wisdom. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.